Good evening and welcome to Scratched Up Radio Theater on listener-supported KKRN Community Radio. Our play tonight is titled The Family Next Door, written and directed by Lily Dubois. The play takes place in the late 1940s out in the country in southern Iowa. Madge Briggs has a radio show that she broadcasts from inside her home for the farm families in the area, sharing news, household advice, and things of interest to rural housewives and families.
A big thank you goes out to Golden Sheaf Whole Grain Flour for helping us bring household and farm tips to all the good people here in South Central Iowa. Messages like that help keep us connected to all of our friends. My husband Frank should be heading in from work out in the back 40 back to the house for dinner before long, and I do have a treat for him, thanks to Margaret Hoskins for her personal recipe for roast beef a la king, and that with cream of celery soup, Golden Sheaf biscuits, mashed potatoes, green beans, and cherry pie will fill Frank up for the evening. You know by now that I won't share any recipe that I haven't tried myself, and my husband helps me judge whether it passes his taste test. So you can be sure that if a picky eater like my Frank says it's good, your man will too, and it will be good for the whole family. Let's take a call right now. Hello?
Well, howdy do, Miss Madge. I've been listening to your show for several years now, and I think you're the best thing that's happened to Pocahatchie County since sliced bread.
That's awful sweet of you to say that.
I wouldn't say it if it wasn't true. And if I'm lying, I'm dying.
Thank you. It's friends like you who make me the happiest radio hostess in the state.
And how are your little ones doing?
Thank you for asking. The little one's just getting over the colic. She's been breathing much easier now that the weather is warmer. And little Frankie, he's in the fourth grade now. He just started Little League and is playing for the Badgers.
That's wonderful.
And if you're ever passing by on County Road A-17, you should stop and see us.
I'll do that, Miss Madge.
Oh, you shouldn't call me Miss. I'm just plain Madge Briggs, and I haven't been a Miss in a good many years. And you have a wonderful day.
You too, Madge.
My neighbors next door, the O'Tooles, seem to be a little negligent in their gardening. I think later this afternoon I might pop over to see how they're doing. I hope they're not ailing. Did I tell you that our sponsor, Sylvia's Sewing Center, has been so gracious as to donate me a brand new used Singer sewing machine? That's a fact, and I've been sewing up a storm. I've made the kids and Frank new shirts, and oops, there's another call. Hello, good afternoon. You're on the airways here on Middle America on the Air.
Hello? Am I on the air?
You are.
Oh, my lands, I've never been on the radio before. We just last year got electricity, and I made Lester buy a radio. And then I heard about your show just for housewives.
And I'm so glad to have you with us today. But our show's not just for housewives. We've had several friends call in that I know aren't married.
Well, sometimes I wish I wasn't married. Oh, my, I shouldn't have said that.
I won't tell anyone.
Thank you. I don't know what my Lester would do if he found out I said that.
He won't. And I doubt he'd get angry.
Oh, you don't know my Lester. Anyway, I just heard you talking about sewing, and I'm making the cutest quilt for my future grandchild.
Oh, that's a wonderful idea.
Of course, I don't use a sewing machine.
That's the best kind of baby quilt, sewn by hand, with love.
I'm so glad to hear you say that. I think so, too.
You should come to the quilting bee.
Goodness gracious, that would be an honor.
Well, I don't know how much of an honor it would be. After all, we're just a bunch of gals like you. But we'd love to meet someone new.
Goodness knows I could use some new acquaintances. We're so far out here in the country, we only have one neighbor. Well, one family of neighbors, I should say. The Murdochs. I can see their house from my kitchen. Oh my, there's one of them motorcycles next to their house.
A motorcycle? That is an unusual sight in this neck of the woods.
It surely is. I've never seen one around here. I wonder who it could be. Oh my, there's someone coming out the side door. He's wearing a bandana over his face.
A bandana? Like for a mask? Why would he? I hope it's not a burglar.
I've never heard about a burglar around these parts. He's starting that thing up. the motorcycle. He's turning it around and now he's taken off.
I can't even imagine. You should call the sheriff.
I don't think I can call him when I'm talking to you.
No, that wouldn't work. You'd have to hang up the phone.
I hate to hang up on you. I'm not still on the air, am I?
Yes, you are. But maybe someone who's listening will call the sheriff. I've never had anything like this happen on my show. I hope the FCC isn't tuned in. I don't know what they'd think.
What's that?
The FCC? They're the government office that gave me the license to be on the radio. Maybe they won't care. Maybe it's even a good thing if they are, because that would show that little country stations like this are needed.
Oh, my stars. Madge, you are a godsend. But you don't think they'll come talk to me, do you?
If they do, you don't have to worry, because our Sheriff Henry Groggins is wonderful. Just last month, he found Old Man Cassaroo, Harry Cassaroo, after he had a stroke. Of course, he was dead by that time. His neighbors called because they noticed a smell coming from his house. He was still sitting in his rocking chair. So they just buried him, chair and all, because he looked so peaceful sitting there. He really was a sweet old man. He used to sit on the bench in front of Yates Market every afternoon, carving on some little knick-knack or other. He could carve a wooden chain with links out of a single hunk of wood. It was amazing what he could carve. He made dozens of little wooden heads. Well, they'd be perfect for puppets. I don't know if he ever made puppets out of them or not. I wish I'd have asked him. Maybe if anyone in our listening area remembers him and knows whether or not he ever used those wooden head for puppets, then please drop me a line. Which reminds me, I believe it's time to take a look at the mailbag. And I quote, "Dear Madge, it's so wonderful to listen to your show every day as I am housebound, being that I am too large to get out of my front door. My daughter-in-law, Frida, who is an absolute angel, does my shopping for me and out of the goodness of her heart brings me meals several times a week. Sometimes they're fresh, sometimes frozen, but always homemade with love. She brings me nutrition for my body, and you bring nutrition for my soul. We don't have a telephone, so I can't call into your show, but thank goodness we do have a wireless. Bless you and your family and your radio staff for making life tolerable for those of us who are being detained for various reasons." Now, isn't that sweet? I declare it almost brings tears to my eyes. With love, Myrtle Mitchell. Well, my dear friend Miss Myrtle, you are the very reason I stay on the airways. Or is it airwaves? In any case, I know how hard it is for those of us who live miles from anywhere to stay in touch with people who are close, but not close enough. My father was a traveling preacher, and he'd haul us all over Iowa, Missouri, and Nebraska to revival meetings. So we always had the spirit, even if we didn't know our neighbors, because we often had no neighbors. We spent most of our time living in a trailer, or to be more accurate, a wagon. There were only 6 children in our family, but still there were times we didn't know where our next meal was coming from. But being affiliated with the Southern Baptist Church, although since I married Frank, I'm a Methodist, we never went too hungry. There were always potluck buffets at the tent shows and churches that kept our spirit fed. Well, here I go again, talking about myself instead of about my friends like Myrtle Mitchell. Well, Sister Myrtle, it is so wonderful to hear from you. So please keep me posted as often as it's convenient for you to write with more about your loving family and how you're doing. Friends, feel free to write to me if you'd rather do that than call in. Or if you have a speech impediment like my nephew Patrick, who has a cleft palate and doesn't like to speak, send it care of Madge Briggs, Rural Route 2, Pocahatchie County, Iowa. Now let's take our next call.
Oh, hello, Madge. It's Rose Simmons again. I just wanted to let you know there's somebody else pulling up to the Murdoch's Lane next door. It's a gray flatbed pickup with wood rails on the sides of the bed. A man's getting out. He has a straw hat on and overalls. He's knocking on the door. Now he's looking in the front window. Land of Goshen! Now he's going inside!
Why do you suppose he's going inside? Maybe somebody heard us talking about the masked motorcyclist on the air.
Now he came back out. He's running to his truck. No, he's running over here! Oh, my gracious, what should I do?
If he behaves like a bad man, just tell him you're on the radio. And don't hang up. Whatever you do, stay on the line. Don't hang up.
I won't.
Because if you stay live on the air with us, anything he does to you will go out everywhere within...
Anything he does to me?
No.
Oh, heavens.
No, he won't do anything to you. Just tell him first thing that anything he says is going out over the radio.
Oh, Lord.
Mrs. Simmons?
Don't come in. We're on the radio.
I know. I heard you. It's Albert from the feed store. I know your husband, Lester.
Albert? I don't think we met. I heard someone bought the feed store, but we didn't order anything. You heard me on the radio?
Yes, I was driving past on my way back from delivering some hay. Are you all right?
I believe so.
Ma'am, I have to use your phone.
But I'm on the radio with Madge.
But Mrs. Simmons, I can't use the phone next door. Their phone line's been cut.
I can call the sheriff's office. Oh, wait. The operator, Mildred, is always listening into what people are talking about. She's probably listening right now. Mildred, if you're listening, you need to call the sheriff.
Yes, Madge, I'm listening. I just put in a call to the sheriff.
Oh, wait a minute. The squad car just pulled up to the driveway next door. It's the deputy. He's going up to the door.
Mrs. Simmons, I have something terrible to tell you.
You do?
Yes, it's terrible, but I don't want to cause a panic, so I'll just whisper to you.
Oh, no! Not the whole family!
What? What's going on?
Oh, merciful heavens! The whole family's been murdered!
Mrs. Simmons, please be quiet. We don't want to scare anyone.
The deputy just ran out to his car.
Then he'll be getting on his police radio and call for backup.
Oh, I hope he doesn't jam up our radio. Last time, everything they said over the police radio went out over my radio show. It did make for a more interesting show. Now, Albert, just between you and me, what did you see when you were next door?
Well, Madge, you can't tell anyone, but I looked in the window and there was Bob Murdoch laying on the floor. I thought maybe he's had a heart attack or something, so I went on in, and he was laying in a pool of blood. Then I saw a big hole in his chest. Then I went into the dining room looking for the telephone, and well, there was Mrs. Murdoch with her throat cut from ear to... Well, she was dead. I found the phone on the wall, and I went to call, but the line was dead, too. And then I real quick looked around some more, and in the bedroom there was the two little girls still in their little nightgowns, and they was both dead.
That is so horrible.
Yeah, I was in Italy during the war, and this was almost as bad as anything I saw there. I better go over and see what the deputy has to say. Maybe he needs some help.
Now, Mrs. Simmons, just try to keep a grip on yourself. Everything is going to be all right.
No, it isn't. It will never be all right.
Well, you're right. It will never be the same, but you'll be all right after this is all settled down. Isn't that true?
I don't know.
Well, of course you will. Now, I can't keep calling you Mrs. Simmons after what we've been through all this time now, can I? What's your given name, hon?
Rose.
Rose, what a lovely name. Isn't there a song about a girl named Rose?
I don't know.
Well, there is. Show me a rose or leave me alone. Now, isn't that lovely?
I don't know.
Well, hon, it's terrible, I know, but...
What if he comes back? I'll never feel safe here again.
Now, Rose, why would he ever come back? If he was to come back, the sheriff's men would get him for sure. I'll tell you what. I'll talk to the sheriff. He's a friend of my husband, and I'll ask him to keep a special eye on your house, like more than a regular patrol. That monster wouldn't dare come back.
Okay. If you think so.
Excuse me, Madge. There are a lot of calls trying to get through to you. I just thought I should tell you.
All right, Mildred. I know yours is a stressful job, keeping all my ducks in a row. So, Rose, you just keep your chin up. Wipe those tears. And remember, the angels are watching over you. Just look in the mirror. If you look closely into your eyes, you'll see them in there. They'll keep you safe.
If you say so.
I know so. And your Lester should be coming home soon. So, Rose, you give me a call later on this evening after my show's over, all right?
Okay.
Aunt Genevieve, that's how to make my special blueberry upside-down cake. And those blueberries should be ripe any day now. Let's take another call. Hello, listener. You're on the air.
Madge, I'm so glad I got through to you. I really hate to bother you.
Rose? Oh, that's no problem. I was hoping you'd check back.
Madge, I'm scared. Real scared. There's somebody banging on my door.
Oh, no.
No, you stay away from me.
You get away from that door.
Rose, what's happening? Are you still there?
Lester's here. Lester shot the man with the mask.
Oh, thank God. Are you all right?
No. I mean, yes. Lester saved me.
I don't believe this.
Who is this? Who is this man?
I don't know. He killed the Murdoch family.
What?
The Murdochs next door. They're all dead. He murdered them.
Rose, if you're lying, I'll kill you.
Lester, you stop that.
Who are you talking to on the phone?
Just Madge on the radio show. She's been helping me through this.
You're talking on the radio?
Please don't be mad, Lester. The man was gonna kill me too, just because we live next door.
I don't know if he's dead, but he should be. Maybe I should finish him off.
No, don't shoot him again. He's bleeding enough.
Mildred, if you're listening, call the sheriff now.
I already have, Madge. He should be getting there any time now.
What the hell is going on here?
I don't know, Lester. All I know is that the whole family next door was murdered, and this maniac was going to kill me, too.
Listeners, we're going to take a little break now for a word from our sponsor, Golden Sheaf Whole Grain Flour. Wholesome goodness for the whole family. Well, friends, I see by my clock and by the sun outside my parlor window that it's just about time for me to call it an afternoon. Frank just came in the door, and that means it's 5 o'clock and time for us to go. Please stay tuned to the station for Howard Haskins' sweet music coming up next. So may the Lord be with you, and if the world gives you lemons, just make some lemonade. Bye now. What a day. What? Hello?
Madge?
Yes, this is Madge.
And Sheriff Groggins here. I hear you've been talking on the radio about what's been going on County Road D.
Well, I don't know anything except what my callers have told me.
Okay, then. I guess I might as well fill you in on what's happened.
That's all right, Sheriff, if you want to.
We got the suspect, and he's still alive. Lester Simmons shot him through his right lung, but looks like he'll pull through.
Well, who is he?
It's a real long story. This afternoon, some boy was riding his horse in a pasture further down Road D, and he saw that suspect on his motorcycle pull off the shoulder. And he pushed his bike down to the culvert that goes under the road, and he hid his bike down inside it.
Oh.
And he had a flatbed pickup stashed behind a clump of trees along the side of the creek. He took off some outer clothes. He was wearing 2 sets of clothes. And then he got in the truck and he circled back to the farmhouse where the family was slain.
You don't say.
Yes, I do. Then he re-entered the house and acted like he discovered the bodies.
No, Sheriff, that was Albert from the feed store that found the bodies.
Yeah, that's right. And the boy on the horse went home and told his folks about what he'd seen. Because you don't see motorcycles that often around here. Now, by that time, the boy's folks had heard about the murders, and then they called us.
You're not telling me that Albert was the one on the motorcycle.
That's right. How well do you know Albert?
I don't know him at all. Frank does all the feed buying.
Uh-huh. Then you don't know that Albert just bought the feed store about 6 weeks ago on payments.
No, I didn't know that.
That's right. Well, his name isn't Albert. It's Stanley. Stanley Murdoch.
The same last name as the family that...
Yep. He's the older brother of Bob Murdoch, the man whose family was just killed.
He killed his own brother?
That seems to be about the size of it. He already confessed. Of course, he's still presumed innocent until he goes to trial, which will be as soon as possible.
Of course.
Now, you keep that under your hat. Don't go telling all your radio listeners.
Oh, Sheriff, I will. I mean, I'll keep it under my hat. I won't tell anyone, except my Frank. But why on earth would he do that?
Like I said, he's Bob's older brother.
He's been living in Gallup, New Mexico for almost 10 years. Well, here's the story. Their family used to own that farm, going back almost 100 years. It's over 1,000 acres, big spread. The boys' parents both died a few years ago. Now Bob, the younger brother, worked the farm with their father since he was a boy, while the older one, Stanley, quit high school and took off and settled in New Mexico. Then after Pearl Harbor, he joined the Marines and fought in the war. He saw a lot of action out in the Pacific. Then after the war, when the boy's father died, the boy's mom had already passed during the war, it seems the dad left the whole farm to Bob, the younger brother, not the older brother. Because Bob stayed home and worked on the farm with his dad all those years, and Bob started his own family, and they lived right there on the farm in a smaller house. So after the father died, Bob and his family moved into the folks' house, turned the smaller house into a chicken coop.
Okay. I sort of remember the Murdoch parents. We all went to the same church.
When Stanley heard that his younger brother inherited the whole farm, he got mad. But nobody knew how mad he was. Somewhere along the line, he cracked up. Because all Stanley inherited was his father's flatbed pickup and $5,000.
Oh.
Bob inherited $5,000 too. And the farm. Now, Stanley was real mad that his younger brother got the farm. But he didn't say nothing. All this time since then, he was studying on what to do about it.
Oh, my God.
So, what he decided to do... Well, you know by now what he did. He figured his brother Bob probably hadn't written a will, because he wasn't really old enough. Stanley figured he might get the farm back if he killed Bob's whole family. So a few months ago, Stanley drove his old pickup all the way here from New Mexico and carry out his plan.
I can't believe that a brother would do that.
Yep. Like Cain killed his brother Abel. Anyway, he took that $5,000 he inherited and put a down payment on the feed store. Grew a mustache. And by then he was wearing glasses. Nobody even recognized that he was the kid Stanley Murdoch that dropped out of high school right here in town. Then last week, he bought a motorcycle over in Pottawatomie County. So nobody would recognize the feed store's flatbed when he was committing the murders.
What a story that is.
It sure is. Nothing like that has ever happened around here. You'll probably be reading all about it in the newspaper.
Well, thank you, Sheriff, for filling me in on the incredible details.
Sure. I already called Rose Simmons and told her. She sure was surprised. She and Lester are holding it together. Now, I got a few other calls to make.
All right, Sheriff. You have a good night and get some rest. You've had a big day.
That I have. And I will. Good night, Madge.
Frank! You will not believe this! And do I ever have a story to tell on my show tomorrow?
You have been listening to The Family Next Door, written and directed by Lily Dubois. The story is based on a real murder incident which took place in rural Black Hawk County, Iowa in 1973. Our cast featured Linda Reagan as Madge, Sarah Lisette Stauffer as Caller 1, Mallory Glavin as Rose, Ian Dalzell as Albert, Laura Christensen as Mildred, Dickie Magadoff as Lester, and Kent Bodensteiner as the sheriff. Our technical director, as always, is Lily Dubois. Tonight is Scratched Up Radio Theater's first play to be produced and recorded at our new studio in Old City Hall in Reading, thanks to the Shastick County Arts Council. Look out for the KKRN Pancake Breakfast coming up in the next month or so. We will have announcements about it in the near future. Thank you. I am your host, Dickie Magadoff. Good night, and thanks for listening to Scratched Up Radio Theater. KKRN Community Radio is a listener-supported, all-volunteer station. We rely on donations from our listeners. Please consider a donation at this time to help keep our great programming on the air, deal with the kind of technical difficulties we had last month. and generally make it possible to meet all of our expenses. Go to kkrn.org and click on the donate button, or if you prefer, send a check to KKRN, P.O. Box 188, Montgomery Creek, California, 96084.
That certain night, the night we met, there was magic abroad in the air. There were angels dining at the Ritz, and a nightingale sang in Berkeley Square. I'm perfectly willing to swear that when you turned and smiled at me, a nightingale sang in Berkeley Square. The moon that lingered over London, could he know we two were so in love? The whole darn world seemed upside down. The streets of town were paved with stars. It was such a romantic affair. Nightingale sang in Berkeley
My name is Danessa Reyna.
And this is Addison McClure.
And you're listening to KKRN 88.5 FM Round Mountain.